It comes as some surprise to those who know me that I'm actually a very shy person. It was third grade, one of those beautiful fall afternoons, a day in which I was thinking about baseball, of course, but many other things, and trying to think of an excuse to avoid a birthday party. It was a classmate's birthday party. It was not a classmate I knew well. I suspect that he invited me because his mother insisted that the entire class be invited. He lived in the neighborhood. We went to the same school as Tim Kaine, as a matter of fact. But anyway, the birthday party was not something I was looking forward to. I tried every way I could to get out of it. I insisted to my mother I didn't feel well. That didn't go well. She said, "This is a birthday party you need to be at." And so I so remember driving the three blocks over there. She didn't want me to walk because she figured I'd find some other route elsewhere to get back home. I kept muttering in the back of the car, "This is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. This is a bad idea." And so I went in trudging, sort of like Pigpen, with the cloud of dust behind, and handed my present to the person, and then hugged the wall the farthest away from every person. Suddenly I noticed, after a few moments, there was someone next to me hugging the wall too. He looked at me and looked down. He was the tallest student in third grade, and indeed still remains a giant of a man. And his first words were, "You didn't want to come too, did you?" That struck up a friendship that continues to this day with Pete. Pete and I discovered ourselves as kindred spirits. Pete and I discovered ourselves as the closest of friends all through the years, and we've moved away and been distant, but that friendship has continued. This is a bad idea. We say it too often, don't we? You can imagine the disciples traveling with Jesus on that sunny fall day, going between Samaria and Galilee, thinking to themselves, muttering to themselves, probably repeating to themselves, but out of earshot with Jesus, "This is a bad idea." He was traveling in the wrong area. He was seeing the wrong people. He was beginning to do odd things that went against the religious authorities. He was putting things into jeopardy just when things seemed to be going well. This was surely a bad idea. And then, as their eyes raised, and Jesus' eyes raised too, they noticed a group off in the distance, a group of lepers who by law had to remain separate from society and couldn't get close to anyone because there were such fears of contamination. And the funny thing is, probably in amidst that group of 10, there was the same muttering of those lepers saying to themselves, "This is a bad idea." And as they got closer, the muttering got louder and louder because they weren't supposed to intersperse. And then their eyes met, and Jesus healed them. Jesus said strange words, "Go see the priest." And surely at least 9 of them thought, well, if we're supposed to be going to see the priests, that would mean we're healed, but we don't see ourselves as healed. So what in the world is he talking about? But they thought, well, it's worth a shot, and so they ran off as fast as they could. Now, surely between that point and getting to the priests, they were healed too, but we're only told about one. We're only told about one who suddenly found himself running and walking and he being healed. And then he stopped, and he heard the voice, if not his conscience, of God saying, "Keep walking, my friend, just keep walking." And instead of walking away, he walked back to Jesus. Sort of like that wonderful movie, there have been 2 of them now, the Finding Dory movies, of the advice given by the parents to Dory, "Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming." The Lord told that leper, "Just keep walking," as he tells us too, "Just keep walking." Now, the message didn't quite get through to the other 9. They kept walking, and they kept walking away from Jesus out into the world without realizing who their power, their source, and their source of salvation could be. But that one leper, a Samaritan, a beautiful twist added by Luke in this story, came back to Jesus with gratitude, with faith, with joy. He kept walking. And Jesus said, you are healed, and your mission in life now is to continue to keep walking, to just keep walking. And can you imagine the exciting evangelism done by that one leper who had been given not only healing, but salvation and a whole new life? This story then is a story of walking, of which direction we'll go walking, of what direction we go toward the world or away from it, toward the Lord or away from Him. It's also a story of vision, isn't it? Think of if those lepers had followed the rules, if those lepers had followed the law, they would have kept their eyes toward the dust and just kept shuffling along, missing the Savior in their midst. And those disciples, so convinced they were in the wrong place, if they kept their eyes down, they just would have kept moving and they would have been so much safer, wouldn't they? But who said the Lord wants us to be safe? It's a story of vision beyond the horizon. That vision given to that leper who had been healed, who could see the world in a whole new way, in the way that the world might be. And that's also our marching orders too. Just keep walking. Keep walking toward the horizon. Keep walking toward the Lord. Keep walking to the way that the world might be, and see the world and proclaim my vision. It's a big, hairy, audacious goal, as they say in business circles, BHAG for short. It's a vision of audacious vision. It's a vision called a motivated vision by one writer who says that a motivated vision for any organization, a church or a business, is so ingrained that it becomes a song in your heart that you can't really describe. It's so joyful and so indescribable that you can give adjectives and pieces and little glimpses, but if you're all on the same page seeing that vision, you'll never be able to say the same thing. You'll each describe it in different ways. Just keep walking, the Lord says. So what direction do we walk in life? Do we take the Lord's gifts? Do we take all the graceful abundance? Do we take that salvation and run the other direction? Say, thanks, Lord, and keep moving? Or do we move toward Jesus? Do we hear His word say, come, follow me? Do we just keep walking out into the world? Do we go out into the world as evangelists like that healed leper and listen to people and tell the truth and give a vision of that big, hairy, audacious goal in our own heart that the Lord wishes to give to everyone? It's a healing balm for a world that so needs it. The first story, so nicely read by Chandra, also gives us that same impression, doesn't it? Those Israelites in exile in Babylon, so intent on just keeping walking away from where they were, keeping their ears plugged and their eyes covered, and remembering the good old days and ignoring everything around them, just keep walking. But God told them something different, the same way Jesus told that leper. Yes, keep walking, but keep walking where you are. Keep walking and engage the culture. Keep walking and talk to all of those around you. No matter how bad an idea you may think it is, I'm working through you. I'm planting seeds. You may not see the results, but you are my messengers. Just keep walking toward the light. Don't walk away from, walk toward. No matter how many times that voice behind you says, this is a bad idea. Ultimately, this is a story of stewardship, isn't it? Of that leper who had nothing but giving his own life to Jesus and being given healing instead. It's a reminder to us in this stewardship season of the way that we give our own lives, of the way that we give our days, our Sabbaths, and those spiritual gifts we may not even realize we have. Spiritual gifts that are identified by Jesus, spiritual gifts that are given to us by God, spiritual gifts that may get triggered in the most unlikely of circumstances, in a third grade grader's birthday party, recognizing a kindred spirit, recognizing a spiritual gift of hospitality, of friendship, of support. Just keep walking. It's so countercultural, isn't it? It's so much easier to sit where you are, to complain, to plug your ears, to cover your eyes, but that's not what Jesus wants. He wants us to be healed of the imperfections that we know in our own lives, but also healed of the apathy, healed of the cynicism, healed of the ways in which we disengage from the world. He wants us walking with him into the world. Just keep walking and be healed. No matter how many times we say, this is a bad idea, it is ultimately, my friends, God's idea, God's plan, God's strength, God's power, God's salvation, and we are God's vessels. Just keep walking. No matter how many times your spirit tells you, stay where you are, stay out of it, don't get in any trouble. Just keep walking away. No, walk toward the light. Walk into the world. Walk out of this place, out into culture, and do effective change, letting the Lord work through you. And then be grateful, for the Lord has healed you. That is good news indeed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.